It is great to be here. I've heard a lot about this church. I've got to know Mark a little over the last few years and just heard his heart for the city of Ballarat and for this church, for all of you. I hope you know that this man, he loves Jesus and he really loves you. You've got a really great pastor here. I've also had the joy of meeting, getting to know his son a whole lot better. And so Ben has moved up and has come on our ministry team at Gateway as our youth pastor with his wife Rachel in the last couple of years, and he's doing a phenomenal job. To be honest, I was a little bit worried when someone said to me, we found a youth pastor in Victoria, and he's got tattoos all over his arms. I mean, we're a little bit conservative in Queensland Baptists. I thought, how's this going to go down? And I said to Mark a little while ago, Ben is doing a fantastic job. I don't know how many of you know Ben, but he and Rachel have just incredibly blessed not just the young people of our church, but our whole church in many different ways. And so we've actually got a whole bunch of people at Gateway that have come from Ballarat, and they're all brilliant. So I don't know what God is doing down here, but it's good. All the ones that have migrated to Queensland for one reason or another have been such a blessing to our church. So thank you for letting them go and blessing us with them. Hey, I might just let Susan come up and just really quickly introduce our family to you, just so you get to know our crew a little bit. We might talk a little bit about them over the next couple of days. So there might even be a photo. Is there a wedding? There you go. That's our crew. Susan can... we don't always get that well dressed up, but we did have a wedding last year, so... I think I forgot Aurelia. I forgot our granddaughter. She's only 6 weeks old. She is cute. We'll find a photo for tomorrow. Very good. Thank you, Sushan. Hey, I believe that Jesus wants to transform some hearts and minds in this place this weekend. Does anyone else here believe that? Do we believe that Jesus is still at work transforming people's lives today? I love just walking in to your building today and just seeing, you know, above that door, you know, that Jesus is about renewing people, renewing people's hearts. It's part of the vision and the mission of this place. And it's part of what I believe God wants to do over these next few days is some renewing and some rebuilding, some transforming of our hearts and minds. And I believe he's going to speak to us and put new faith and new vision in us to be at work in this community, transforming the lives of people with the good news of Jesus. Do you believe that tonight? That he still uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Do you believe that? He is still using ordinary people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to do extraordinary things in our world that are beyond anything that, you know, we could possibly ask, dream, or imagine, because our God is an extraordinary God. He's a God who's able to do more, immeasurably more, in fact, than anything that we've ever asked, dreamed, or imagined. So I'm just going to pray again, and I'm going to see if I can steal this little music stand over here. Is that all right if I take this one? And am I going to upset anyone if I move this? Just just over here because I'm reasonably tall and I just want to be able to read my Bible. And down there, I can't. Is that all good? Beautiful. Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you are at work today. Thank you that you're in this room. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. You promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. And it's true. You walk with us even through the darkest valley. And when we're standing on the highest mountaintop, you are there. You're always there. And I thank you for your presence here with us right now. God, would you speak to us? Would you give us fresh vision and revelation from your word and by your Holy Spirit? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll never forget the Monday that I walked home from school with a new guitar amplifier in my hand. I was 13 years old. And at 13, what I noticed as a young boy is that all of the guys who played guitar ended up with really hot girlfriends. All of them, right across school, at church. I noticed any guy, didn't matter what they looked like, if they could play the guitar, they ended up with a hot girlfriend. Every single one of them were punching above their weight. And the girlfriend stakes. And so at 13 years of age, I thought, I'm just starting to get interested in girls. I'm thinking, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to learn to play the guitar. And the problem was I had absolutely no musical ability. And I turned out I had no rhythm in my body. I just could not play the guitar. But at 13, playing the guitar badly was what I did. And to really, get the girls interested, you seem to have to play the electric guitar. And so I saved up all of my money to buy this second-hand guitar amplifier off one of my mates at school. And I paid him $50 at lunchtime at school, and I walked home with it, and I walked through the front door, and I was so excited about my new amplifier, and I'm trying to show it to my mum and explain to mum this new thing that I got, which is, it's going to make me a chick magnet, and she just started laughing at me, and I thought, oh, I guess it was pretty funny, but she wouldn't stop laughing, and I'm starting to get annoyed, and at first, when someone starts laughing hysterically, you kind of get caught up in it, even though you've got no idea what they're laughing at, and that's what was happening. I just sort of started laughing with her, but this went on for minutes, like I'm talking 10 minutes, she's doubling over in pain, snot coming out, like boogers coming out her nose, tears coming out her eyes, she's laughing so hard, I'm thinking, it's not that funny, and I'd get halfway through explaining, how this thing worked, and she'd just be doubling over in pain and laughing again, and it was starting to get annoying. I actually thought my mum was drunk. I'd actually never seen my mum drunk, but I thought while I've been at school, she's drunk a bottle full of something and she is completely drunk. And I'm getting frustrated with her. And I stormed off to my room because I couldn't get to any sense to come out of her. And then I came back down a little bit later on and she's still laughing. And I said, this is it. You've gone mad, woman. And I stormed out the house and I said, I'm not coming back until you stop laughing. Well, I was a 13-year-old boy, and so about 2 hours later, I was starving, hungry. And I did come home. And thankfully, by then, my dad was home. And he eventually sat me down. And he said, I guess you're wondering what's going on with your mum. And I said, yes, she's gone stark raving mad. And the next few words that came out of my dad's mouth changed the trajectory of my life and our family ever since. He says, I don't really know what's going on, but I think Jesus has healed your mum. I think Jesus has healed your mum. You see, that morning, the pastor had come around to pray with my mum like he had most Monday mornings. He just faithfully just kept coming around to pray for my mum. My mum, from the age of 13, had struggled with significant mental illness. She had chronic anxiety and clinical depression, and she was agoraphobic. And if you know anything about agoraphobia, it means there's an incredible fear about being in open spaces with lots of people. And so most of my growing up years, I didn't really know what was wrong with my mum. You know, as a 13-year-old boy, you don't really understand what's going on. I just knew my mum was different. I knew that she just locked herself up in our home, sometimes for months at a time, and didn't leave. And sometimes just to take us to the shops, she'd be doped up on all sorts of prescription medication. There'd be days she was supposed to turn up at school for something and she just couldn't get there. There were times, and I remember years and years of, you know, we'd grown up going to church, but mum, most of our growing up years, would storm out of church halfway through and go and lock herself in the car. She was kind of that person. And I didn't really know what was wrong with her, but I knew there was different. There was something different about her. But that day, as the pastor prayed for her, it was Monday the 21st of October 1985. The pastor prayed for her, and something different happened. You see, right throughout her life, for 20 years of this struggle, she'd had some great people come around her, professionals come around her and help her. At times teaching, you know, relaxation therapies and putting her on new medications. And I'm so grateful for those people, I really am. They kept, you know, our family together. They kept my mum alive. They kept her in one piece. But on Monday the 21st of October 1985, my mum did not learn a new relaxation therapy. My mum did not get put on some new medication. On Monday the 21st of October 1985, Jesus miraculously, supernaturally healed my mum, and she's never, ever been the same since. She had so much darkness and weight lifted off her that day that she had been laughing since 10:30 that morning. She laughed for 8 hours straight. She didn't know life could be filled with so much joy. She didn't know that she could actually feel this way. She didn't know that she could live without this darkness that just was on her all the time. And she felt so light and so full of joy that she just laughed and laughed and laughed. I was not the first person that had come to the door and stormed out, not knowing what was going on. My grandmother had been there, and I think she went to her grave not really understanding what was going on that day. But on Monday the 21st of October 1985, 34 years ago, on Monday just gone, Jesus healed my mum. And I don't know why she had to struggle for over 20 years the way that she did. I don't know why. It took probably hundreds and thousands of prayers from different people until she was healed. I don't know why some people get healed and others don't. There's a lot of things I don't know. But what I do know is that on Monday, the 21st of October 1985, Jesus Christ healed my mum in a way that changed her life, changed my life, changed our whole family's life. I know, and no one can convince me otherwise, that Jesus heals today. Jesus has power today to transform our lives from the inside out. He healed my mum on a very ordinary Monday. Just an ordinary day where the rest of us went to school and to work like we always did. There was no special prayer meeting that she was in. There was no service that she was a part of that day. It was just an ordinary Monday. Jesus still heals today. You know, Jesus had a mum. You thought about this? You know, we've all got a mum. Jesus had a mum. Jesus a little bit different to the rest of us. He didn't really have a dad. And you could kind of say that was his first supernatural miracle. You know, you could say that the virgin birth, which is a pretty big deal, you know, was actually Jesus' first miracle, you know, in this world. But his first miracle, what's recorded as his first miracle in ministry 30 years later, Jesus' mum had a fair bit to do with it. You know, Jesus' mum was with Jesus and his followers at a wedding in a place called Cana. And weddings, just like today, were a big deal back then. The families would be responsible for, like today, for catering for the wedding, for looking after all the guests that would come to the wedding to enjoy the festivities. And at this particular wedding, it says they ran out of wine before the celebrations had finished, which would be very embarrassing in a culture that really valued hospitality. Looking after your guests was a big deal. And so this was embarrassing for the family involved. I mean, as you saw on the screen, we had a family wedding last year. And it was my responsibility as father of the bride to supply all the food and drink. And thankfully, we didn't run out. But it's only 12 months later that we can now afford to eat again. I mean, weddings, if you haven't yet experienced them, are incredibly expensive. And we're not kind of sure why they ran out of wine at this particular wedding that Jesus was at. But what we do know is that Jesus' mum decided to intervene. It was actually Jesus' mum that came up to him and said, "Son, it's time for you to step in and perform a miracle." This is what happens. John chapter 2, if you've got a Bible there. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They've got no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." That's an important few words. Just do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you save the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is what I'd like us to get tonight as we begin this conference. This is what I hope, you know, we might just receive in our hearts and might grow in us, you know, over these next few days. The supernatural power of Jesus is for everyone, every day, and everywhere if we obey his every word. Let me say it again. The supernatural power of Jesus, still at work in the world today, it's not just for a few, it's for everyone. It's not just for certain days of the week, it's at work every day. And it's not just in certain places at certain times. Jesus is at work everywhere because he loves everyone that you'll ever meet if we'll obey his every word. In Jesus' first public display of supernatural power, I reckon Jesus' mum teaches us some important principles. Firstly, Jesus does get involved in our everyday challenges when we ask him. You realize here, someone asked him. Jesus' mum comes up to him and says, "I'd like you to intervene here. I'd like you to do something." She wasn't asking him to run down to the local bottle shop and pick up a few casks of wine because he was the designated driver. You know, his mum was asking him to supernaturally intervene in what was a very everyday challenge. The world wasn't going to fall apart. if wine ran out at a wedding. This was just an ordinary, everyday challenge. You know, this was the kind of thing that happens all the time in families. And I don't know, you know, why Jesus' mum thought this was, you know, a good thing for Jesus to do. I don't know whether Jesus made food miraculously appear in the kitchen when she'd burnt the roast. I don't know if she'd kind of seen this before. You know, I don't know if Jesus, you know, turned cordial into Coke for all his mates in the backyard, you know, as kind of a bit of a party trick. I don't know why she thought turning water into wine would be a good miracle for Jesus to begin his ministry. What I do know is that us Queensland Baptists have been trying to turn it back ever since. You know, we kind of can't quite work this one out. You know, what was Jesus' mum thinking, turning all of this water into wine? But Mary, and you'd have to say at this point in Jesus' life, Mary knows the heart of Jesus better than anyone. You know, he hasn't begun his ministry. He hasn't called, you know, his disciples very long ago. You know, he spent more time, you know, with Joseph and Mary than probably anyone else up until this point. And Mary looks at her son and knows that he cares about everyday challenges that we face. And she also knows that he has power to transform, power to provide, you know, power, you know, to bring change. And even though Jesus says it's before his time, he responds to his mum's request to get involved and to provide. And I'm convinced that sometimes we don't see Jesus intervene in our everyday challenges in life simply because we don't ask him. The Bible makes it clear you do not have because you do not ask. And sometimes we don't see, you know, Jesus powerfully, you know, at work in situations, bringing transformation in our own lives, in the lives of others, because we don't ask. We actually don't have the faith to believe that Jesus cares about it, or we don't have the faith to believe that he can change it. As one or the other. We either don't ask because we think, he wouldn't really be interested in someone like me and my little challenge, or because we just don't believe that he has the power to bring change. I say some of us here tonight, and I know this is my own challenge as well, we'd say, this is all I've ever known of God, therefore this is all I'm ever going to know. This is all I've ever experienced up until this point, and therefore this is all I'm ever going to know into the future. Where I believe Jesus wants to, and the Bible says he wants to take us from revelation to revelation. He actually wants to continue to transform us into his likeness until the day we die and we go to glory. I wonder if there's some of us here tonight who we're not seeing the supernatural power of Jesus at work in our own lives, or the work of lives at work in the lives around us, because we have not asked. We don't really have faith to believe that he can bring transformation. And some of us, we've asked a number of times and we've given up. Do you think that was the first time my mum asked to be healed? Now, what would have happened if mum said, I've been praying this for 20 years and nothing's happened? I'm giving up. I tell you, it's still to this day the most transforming moment in my entire life. I knew from that moment on, God is big. And God is at work. He can change anything and anyone. But what if she had given up? I wonder if tonight some of us, you know, we didn't see something happen the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time we asked and we've given up. And tonight, Jesus is reminding us that he does care and he does have power and he wants us to ask. See, Jesus is interested in your family challenge right now. He's interested in your financial challenge. He's interested in the faith challenge that you're walking through. He's interested in the health challenge that you're walking through, not right now. And he has power for everyone, every day, and everywhere. What is it over this weekend? What's your everyday challenge you need to ask Jesus to get involved in? And allow his power to be at work in your life. See, Jesus gets involved in our everyday challenges when we ask him. And secondly, Jesus pours out his power when we obey his every word. We see this a few times through the Gospels. Jesus' mum says to everyone, do whatever he tells you. She actually knows it's important to actually respond in faith to whatever Jesus says. You've actually got to, it's not just a click of your fingers. He actually always involves, you know, people in faith. It always involves, you know, people in actually being obedient to what he asks us to do. Do whatever he tells you. Sometimes we don't see the supernatural power of God at work in our lives because we do not ask. And sometimes we don't see the supernatural power of God in our work, at work in our lives, because we do not obey. We're actually not willing to step out in faith and trust that God is there. We actually haven't yet believed that Jesus is going to do a mighty work. And so we're kind of sitting back, just waiting for it all to fall in our laps. We're waiting for the transformation in our lives just to happen. We're waiting for the transformation of this community, you know, just to happen. We're just waiting for it all fall in our laps. And where what Jesus is calling us to do is to step out in faith when he calls us to, trust that he's at work even when we can't yet see it, even when we can't yet see what he's going to do. You know, this miracle was actually the catalyst for people to start believing in Jesus. Verse 11, it says, what Jesus did here in Cana was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples, the people who'd started following him, started believing in him. And they actually said, because they saw his power at work, this guy really is the Lord and Savior. He really is the promised Messiah. You know, he really is the Son of God. This is when they started to believe in him. And I'm absolutely convinced if we are going to see Australia come to know Jesus, our nation needs to see a church that believes in the supernatural power of God today. That actually believes that Jesus transforms broken people today because he loves broken people. That Jesus provides for needy people today because he loves needy people. And the church that bears his name has his heart of compassion and is willing to step out in faith to actually see it happen. I absolutely believe. I don't know Ballarat all that well, except that you've got some brilliant people you sent to Brisbane. But I'd say it's like most communities in Australia. There are many people in this community who desperately need Jesus, but they desperately need to see a church that really does believe that God is God today and that he is at work. He does have power and he can bring transformation. You know, turning water into wine was just the first of, you know, Jesus' crazy miracles, but it wasn't the last. The whole ministry is characterized, you know, by miracles from heaven. You know, one of my favorites is in John chapter 9, where Jesus and his disciples meet a man that says they've been blind from birth. If this is a guy who could just say, you know, this is all I've ever known, this is all I'll ever know. Blind from birth. It's this guy. And when Jesus and the disciples come across him, the disciples say, who sinned? Him or his parents? Because that was the thinking at the time. And to be honest, it's still at work in our world today. that if someone is suffering in some way, then it must be a result of their own personal sin or the sin of their parents, their family members. And Jesus is very quick time and time again to put that thought to rest, to actually change the thinking that's in the culture. And he says, neither. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But you're going to see my Father's glory revealed in just a moment. And he does something really weird. All right? Sometimes stepping out in faith, believing in the supernatural power of God, means being obedient to some weird things. You know what Jesus does in this situation? Many of you know the story. He spits on the ground. He makes some mud. And he rubs sticky mud on the blind guy's eyes. Why does he do that? That's weird. He doesn't need to. We see other stories in the Gospels where he simply said a word and they were healed. We see other times where he healed them with a touch. No saliva involved whatsoever. Just a simple touch. In fact, there's other stories where Jesus doesn't even have to be in the vicinity. He says to the centurion, because of your faith, they're healed right now. I'm not even there. Jesus doesn't need to rub spit in these guys' eyes to heal him. I don't know why he did this. I don't know why he did it. But I don't need to. The guy who had never, ever been able to see was healed. He could see. And when this guy, went home, and all his neighbors say, "Well, how are your eyes opened?" And he said, "You're not going to believe this, but this dude spat in the mud, rubbed it in my eyes." And they all go, "Where is this crazy dude?" And he says, "I don't know." Well, he could now. Then all the religious skeptics gather around and they say to this guy's parents, "Is this your son? Is this your son that was born blind? How can he now see?" And they say, "We know he's our son. We know he was blind. We know he can now see, but we got no idea how this happened. We don't know." And then they called in the dude with the sticky eyes. And they said, "We know this Jesus is a sinner." And he says, "Well, I don't know. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not." This is one of the coolest lines in the whole of the gospel. "This one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I can see." Praise God. "This one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I can see." Like these guys, there's a lot I don't know about the supernatural power of Jesus. I'm glad I'm not the only one. They didn't have a clue what was going on. But what I do know is that Jesus still heals today when we obey his living word. Now, my wife's a normal person. I'm going to invite her up here right now to tell a crazy story. All right, just give her a big hand as she comes up. It's going to sound weird, but she's pretty normal.
Yeah, a few years ago now, I got asked to pray for a lady named Shirley. And Shirley had been having a condition in her eye that was cloudy. She couldn't see properly through it. She'd been to doctors. She'd been getting eye tests done and it had gone on for a few months. And this particular day, I got asked to pray for Shirley. And if you know me, which you don't, but let me tell you, I hate praying. I hated praying out loud. And I had never prayed for anybody to be healed. And so I'm there sitting with Shirley, and honestly, it was like 5 minutes of dead silence. I was freaking out. I didn't know what to say. I'm like, "God, give me something. I need some amazing prayer to pray over her, to see her miraculously healed." The only thing God kept putting in my head is that story. And I'm going, "I don't really understand why you're doing this, God. I need really good words. I need some great words to lay hands on her and pray. I want you to spit in her eye." Okay. No. Anyway, the wrestle went on for quite some time. Eventually, I leaned over to Shirley and I said, "You're not going to believe this, but I think God wants me to spit in your eye." And she just burst out laughing. for ages. And then she goes, well, if that's what God says, then I guess you'd better do it. I wasn't game enough to do anything too drastic, so I just sort of got a bit of spit on my finger and wiped it on her eye and literally just prayed the lamest prayer ever. God, please heal her in Jesus' name, amen. Something like that. I could not believe it when a week later she came back and for the whole week her eye had been completely healed. Every week for the next month, is it still okay? Can you still see okay through it? Completely healed. Don't understand, and I promise I'm not weird, but, you know.
Yeah. I was just picturing Susan just hocking up a big golly and just dribbling. It didn't happen quite like that. But I know I wasn't game to tell Susan for some time after about any ailment that I had. I was worried. Yeah, and just... This is true. As far as I know, she's never spat on another person since. And this is true. Neither did Jesus. This is a thing. You know, Jesus is not teaching some sort of formula for healing here. What he models for us is to be in such an intimate relationship with the Father that in any circumstance he knows how to see the power of God move from heaven to earth. And so he doesn't teach us a formula in Scripture for how to see, you know, transformation and healing happen in miraculous ways in our lives. He actually invites us into a relationship of such intimacy that oftentimes the transformation simply happens in that relationship. As we're reconciled to the Father, as we're walking closely with the Father, he renews our heart, which is part of the heart of this church. And he speaks to us about how he wants to bring transformation in the lives of those who don't yet know him. See, this is not some formula. I'm very glad Susan's never spat on another person. And this is not some formula that Jesus was teaching. And I don't know why, you know, he needed to do it this time. But what I do know is that the supernatural power of Jesus is not just for super Christians. Susan back then, that was a few years ago now, and she said she was so nervous about ever praying out loud. Now, you'll hear a bit of her journey tomorrow, and Jesus has transformed her and released her from a whole bunch of fears in her lives. But back then, she prayed a very simple prayer. I'm telling you, people, the supernatural power of Jesus is for everyone, every day, and everywhere when we obey his every word. Luke chapter 9, there's a change in the Gospels. Luke chapter 8, it says Jesus goes around doing all this crazy cool stuff, healing people everywhere. But then in Luke chapter 9, there's a change. He says Jesus called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority. He actually, the same power and authority that he had to bring healing and transformation in people's lives, he gave it to them to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people don't welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. It wasn't just for a few people in a few places, but he was giving ordinary people like you and me power and authority to take the good news of the gospel and to take the healing power of Jesus everywhere. And these guys were mostly fishermen. They weren't rocket scientists. And he says, don't take anything where you can depend on your own power and resources. Just take the shirt on your back. I don't want you thinking you've got anything to do with this. I don't want you to thinking you've made this happen. You're going completely dependent on me. Ordinary people like you and me, filled with the supernatural power of Jesus. I'm telling you, the power of God. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for Jesus' mum. It's not just for weirdos like Susan who spits on people. It's for everyone, every day and everywhere. When we're willing to obey his every word and step out in faith. You know, he's still sending ordinary people out into villages and towns to share the good news and to pray for healing today. Who believes that everywhere includes Ballarat? Come on, who believes that everywhere includes Ballarat? I do. You know, who believes, you know, that everywhere includes your workplace? You know, who believes that everywhere it includes, you know, your school? You young guys here tonight, don't think that this isn't true for you. Your school, you know, your workplace, this church, the everywhere that Jesus is talking about, that is giving ordinary people power and authority to share the good news about him and to see people healed in his name, in his power and authority, the everywhere is right here. I guess my question to you tonight is, who wants to be part of seeing people receive the good news of Jesus and find healing in Jesus' name? Who wants to be part of that adventure? You know, who wants to be part of stepping out in faith, just in crazy faith and trust in what God's saying to us, to see him powerfully at work in people's lives? Now, as I've said to you tonight, there's a whole bunch I don't know about the way God works in the world today. I don't know why some people get healed and others don't. I don't know why some people get healed instantly by Jesus and others get healed in hospitals that bear his name. Because that's the heart of God. I don't know why that happens. But I tell you what I've decided to do. And this is what I encourage you to do. I've decided to base my faith not on what I don't know, but what I do know. That's what I want to encourage you to do tonight. Base your faith not on what you don't know and you don't understand, but what you do know. You see, this is my story and your story will be different. But what I do know is that on Monday, the 21st of October, 1985, my mum was supernaturally healed by Jesus. A woman who has locked herself up in our house for months at a time has walked around the world. You know, she walks everywhere. She's started businesses. You know, she's going on adventures around the world, constantly making up for lost time. What I do know is that when Susan spat in Shirley's eye for some crazy reason, she was healed by Jesus when the doctors couldn't heal her. You know, what I do know, and all of us probably here in this room, this is our story, is that when I asked Jesus to forgive my sin and take over my life, he filled my life with purpose, with hope, with joy. He's healing my brokenness one day at a time, my selfishness one day at a time. You know, what I do know is there's no one in all of history that has impacted our world like Jesus has. There's never been another person who has had an impact on this world like Jesus has. I've come to believe that Jesus did in fact open the eyes of the blind and turn water into wine, because he is in fact the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and he still has power and authority today. There's no one like him. At the end of Jesus' ministry marked by miracles, the greatest miracle was on the cross. You know, on the cross, I tell you, if you believe that what Jesus did on the cross is for you, you believe in miracles tonight. That was the greatest miracle of all time. On the cross, Jesus put to death the sin that once separated us from the Creator of this world, from his power and from his presence. And on the third day, he rose from the dead and defeated the power and of sin and death once and for all. And everyone who repents and puts their trust in Jesus will have their sins forgiven and will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 is our model filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. There is supernatural power to forgive your sins. Most of us here in this room have received that. To give you eternal life. And it's for everyone, every day, everywhere. And He gives you power today to go into your towns and villages and to see people's lives transformed by the sharing of the good news and by the praying for people, broken people, sick people, needy people to be healed in Jesus' name. Come on, tonight as we begin this conference, if you're just here tonight and you'd say, hey, I don't want what I've known in the past to limit what I believe God is going to do through my life in the future. I actually want to step by faith into a new season. I want to be part. I want to be part of this incredible adventure of seeing people receive the good news of Jesus and find healing in His name. If you'd say that's your prayer tonight, you see your prayer of what you'd love God to be doing in your life over this weekend, I'm just going to invite you just right now to stand, and I'd love to pray for you. Just stand where you are. I'm just going to pray for us tonight as we begin this weekend together. Just put your hands out if you feel comfortable doing that, just like you're going to receive a gift from God. It's just like He's got a big present He wants to hand over to you. Because that's what He's like. God, tonight, we just declare that You are good. You are the God who turned water into wine. You are the God who opened the eyes of the blind. You are the God who sent Your Son to die in our place on a cross and rose from the dead on the third day to give us life everlasting. You are the God who loves every person that we will ever lock eyes with. You're longing to see them come to know You. God, I just thank You for this church, young and old, God, in all the different stages in our journey. God, tonight I pray that You would give a gift from heaven, that You would come and fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. God, come and fill us afresh tonight. Fill us afresh tonight. God, would You come and fill us with Your power that we might take Your good news and Your healing power into our towns and villages today. God, I thank You that You have a magnificent adventure in store for every person here. God, You have a plan for this city of Ballarat. God, there are people that are ready to receive, that are ready to receive good news, that are open for and ready for a church to wrap their arms around them and love them and pray for them and pray for healing in Jesus' name. God, I pray that You would fill our hearts with faith tonight, that we would ask big prayers. God, we would ask to see what we've never seen before. And God, that You would give us faith to step out into scary spaces, into places where we're just trusting You. We're not dependent on our own power and our own resources, but we're completely dependent on Your power and authority to miraculously provide, to miraculously heal, to miraculously transform people's lives. God, would You fill us tonight? Fill us with power. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.